Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. You, our listening audience, make this broadcast possible. We're thankful for you, for your prayers, for your support financially, and for allowing us to continue to bring you information each and every day that affects the home, the family, and the church, that in many cases point to the undermining of faith, family, and our freedom in America. And I believe every Christian, every conservative, every patriot ought to sit up, pay attention to what is taking place in our great nation, be a part of the resolution, part of the scenario that resolves the issues. And that is possible only by being salt and light in the society in which we're living in. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in Matthew, the 5th chapter, said, "Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth." But ladies and gentlemen, he goes on to say, if the salt's lost its savor, has no benefit but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And when he says, ye are the light of the world, ye are the salt of the earth, he's talking to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just to an individual believer, as we ought to be salt and light, but he's talking about the church specifically, that we, as believers, we're to be the salt and the light of the world in which we're living in. And as a result of a failure to be the salt and light, as a result of the failure to illumine in darkness and to be one that stands in the midst of the difficult, dark, dying, decaying society, and as the watchman on the wall warns of the danger coming, it is we, the believers, that stand in the way of jeopardy today in relationship to what is happening in our nation. So let me encourage you to be found faithful as you tune in each and every day, and invite others to do so also. Today we're going to be talking about something I think is very, very serious. Be sure God is watching. Somehow, some way, we've been lulled into believing that God's asleep, God's on vacation, God's impotent, God cannot do anything. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, ladies and gentlemen. The scripture tells us in the 13th chapter, the 8th verse of the book of Hebrews. And so let me remind you that God's still watching. He's still on the throne. He's not going to sleep. He's not going on vacation. He's not sick. He's not dead, as they said back in the 60s, that God is dead. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, God is watching. And we'll tell you how that is a nexus to what we're talking about in this broadcast today in just a moment. But first, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion on the issue today. We're going to be going into depth with the issue today, talking about the new findings of John Durham in his report, with his long bony finger, as I call it, pointing directly to Hillary Clinton and to her attorney and to the DNC and to others in the high-up realm of the CIA and the FBI, the law enforcement thugs wearing badges that were doing the behest of Hillary Clinton to try to destroy the campaign of Donald Trump, and then trying to destroy his presidency by the Russiagate allegation. We'll talk about that today on this broadcast in depth. But first, I want to remind you that as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it having a central biblicist worldview, a central biblicist worldview. And that central biblicist worldview simply means that everything that happens, all that we see taking place in the world today and in our nation and in our society in general, we need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God, What does God's word say about it? How does God's word play into what is being said? You see, as we pick up the paper each day, it is the revelation of what is happening now, but God knew it from the beginning. There's no such thing as a calendar, a clock with God. It's the eternal presence with God. So what we're finding to be revelatory information today, God already knew it because God is watching. God is supreme. God is sovereign. God is still on the throne. God is omniscient, that is all-knowing. He is omnipotent, that is all-powerful. He is ever-present, ladies and gentlemen. So I want you to be calm and understand that though we'll talk about things that should be, earth-shaking, as some call it in the news media, bombshells, it ought not to shake our faith in the fact that God is still on the throne and God is watching. It should challenge us to be salt and light that he's charged us with the responsibility being. In John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." It's the truth that we ought to seek after, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Lord Jesus himself in John 14, 6 that says, "I am truth." And then further he says in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." If we seek answers, we need to seek God's wisdom in God's truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. As we face issues, we do not face them based on some political, ideological bent. We do not face the issues and discuss the issues based on denominational dogma. We do not face the issues and discuss them based on philosophical rhetoric. We do not face the issues based on some theory or some ten-horn conspiracy, but we do so based on factual data and information. You'd be surprised how many times I've had people say, "Well, Doc, I listen to the news. I read the newspapers. The things you talk about, I've never seen, never read, don't hear on the news media." No, that's because these issues, ladies and gentlemen, are being sequestered from we the people. Social media has basically shut everything down that will allow us to communicate. The platforms that at one time would allow us to have free speech now have squelched free speech because they're not allowing the transmission of information and data. And certainly the socialist Marxist Communist Network news are going to hold the hands of the socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party. And as a result of that, you don't get factual data that we can make decisions on. It was the secularist George Orwell, when he did the book entitled 1984, the dystopian novel about where America would be in 1984. It was Orwell that made this statement: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be factual, actual today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warned America's decline as the death of truth. And he goes on to say, and let me just read a blurb from his article on that subject. "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity." This is the reason I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, made a statement that's profound. He said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And that is my challenge to you each and every day. We need to stand for truth. We may stand alone. We may be demeaned, despised, and dissed, as the world calls it. But that should not in any way deter us from standing on truth and standing for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands LaConda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. But wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. It's a great place to work, ladies and gentlemen. It's a family-friendly oriented environment. They're closed, Tools for Time is closed on Sundays to allow the employees to worship with their families on Sunday in the house of God. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, just drop by and make your application, wait for an interview with Tools for Time, and see what God does in placing you there with Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me wrap up some loose ends from previous broadcasts about Senate Bill 7014 and House Bill 7021. The reconciliation has taken place. Senate Bill 7021, it's being rushed to the desk of our governor for signature, and if that bill is signed by the governor, it will prevent you, it will prevent me, it will prevent every family member in the state of Florida from having any redress by the court of law if the hospitals, the medical associations, the medical care facilities kill our family members. And ladies and gentlemen, presently, that's exactly what they're doing on a national basis. They're giving remdesivir, which is required by the CDC, that will destroy the spleen, that will destroy the liver, that will destroy the kidneys, and as a result of it, it's killing patients by the thousands across our nation. And yet that's the CDC protocol. And ladies and gentlemen, the sad thing is our representatives and our senators have all voted, I say all, the majority voted for this bill, and it's now on the fast track for the governor's desk for his signature. I'm going to read to you an article, then we'll comment, make a transition to the issue for today. This article says Floridians demand DeSantis veto the bill extending near immunity to hospitals treating COVID-19 patients. A growing contingency of people concerned about how hospitals treat COVID-19 is calling on the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to veto a bill the Republican Party is quickly pushing. Notice now, Republican Party quickly pushing through the state's legislature. The Republican-led efforts seek to extend a law that grants near immunity to health care providers for their treatment of COVID-19 as long as they follow the CDC guidelines and the National Institute of Health, known as NIH. They say the measure still is needed to help healthcare facilities stay solvent during the pandemic. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie. The healthcare facilities, the hospitals, the doctors have made more money in the past 2.5 years than they've made in the lifetime of the medical industry in the United States of America because COVID funds, CARES funds for COVID, have been dispersed by the hundreds of billions of dollars to the educational system in America, to the medical associations in America, to doctors in America, and doctors are getting, and the hospitals are getting, a 20% bonus incentive if they rate you as COVID. Picture a hospital with an accumulated bill. If you're in the hospital 30, 60, 90 days, you've got a $500,000 to $1 million bill. And the hospitals are guaranteed a 20% bonus if they call your condition COVID. Everybody in line, from the doctor to the hospitals to the morgues and the morticians, they get bonuses if it is a COVID patient. That's the reason they're so anxious to rate you as COVID. That's the reason they're so anxious to put a ventilator down your throat. That's the reason they're so anxious, because they're following the CDC protocol. And ladies and gentlemen, the state of Florida is just one out of, I believe it's 29 states that have this law as of now that allows the legislators to basically give blanket immunity to hospitals and doctors and the medical association for treating you. This article further states, the Republican-led effort to extend the law grants near immunity to healthcare providers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, healthcare facilities so that they can stay solvent during the pandemic. Further, the article states, original measure was passed in 2021 and was set to expire in March of 2022. But Republicans are pushing an extension bill through the Florida House and Senate. The efforts seek to extend the law's special protections for health care providers through June of 2023. Ladies and gentlemen, hundreds of thousands of family members, your sons, your daughters, our moms, our dads, our relatives will be killed in that period of time, lest there is a class action lawsuit against these health care providers that's following the CDC guideline. The CDC guideline is following Emperor St. Anthony Fauci's guidelines that is designed to take the lives, and to have a national, a global genocide is the purpose of the CDC guidelines today. This article further states, contention over the bill puts DeSantis, a Republican, in quite a tricky spot in an election year with 17 challengers vying for his job. Further in the article, it states participants in medical freedom rallies across Florida and the rest of the country have decried the hospital's behavior in the treatment of COVID-19. Many families around the U.S. have asked courts to intervene and help them obtain treatments that they wanted to try for their loved ones when all governmental recommendations and treatments have failed and families are dying. DeSantis recently said that he's pushing Florida lawmakers to pass legislation that would allow doctors in his state to go against federal guidelines and prescribe what they think will work best for patients. His office did not respond to requests for comment on the efforts to extend the immunity period. Let me pause there before I read the balance of about another paragraph in this article. Ladies and gentlemen, what he is referring to here is Senate Bill 988. Senate Bill 988 is the results of me and others that have been pushing for months and months and months for the legislators to pass a legislation that would allow families to visit their loved ones in the hospital, that would allow families to be treated as human beings, that would allow patients to be treated as humane and not inhumane and barbaric treatment as they've been given. The hospitals and doctors have refused to listen to the pleas and the begging and the crying and the pleas again from family members to allow hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin to be administered to their patients, their family members, so that they could survive. It's been proven around the world to work in saving lives of those that have contracted the pathogen called COVID. But ladies and gentlemen, 988 is flawed from the first. It has a fatal flaw. That fatal flaw is in the midst of the bill, and Senate Bill 988, in the very center of that bill, it basically still leaves it up to the hospitals and doctors to require the patients to have visitors, and those visitors must comply with the CDC guidelines. That means the hospital could require you to have a COVID jab before you go in to see your relative. It does nothing to give relief in the state of Florida. So our governor's been bamboozled, blindsided, I believe, by our legislators that probably have not read any or as many articles as I've read personally and researching the dangers and the results of destroying the lives of those that are have contracted COVID. This article further says, now healthcare experts, political activists, families who've lost loved ones to COVID-19, and attorneys involved in the recent healthcare battles to obtain alternative treatments have signed a letter that was hand-delivered February the 14th to Governor DeSantis' office, asking him to veto the bill. The signers of the letter represents 25 organizations with members that number into the hundreds of thousands of Floridians, says the letter's author, attorney Sean McBride of the American Freedom Information Institute in Maitland, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, the article continues, and I'll not belabor it, but let me read two other brief paragraphs. Their problem with the law is that it ties liability protection for medical providers to their adherence to government guidelines and treatment of COVID-19 in the CDC. The provision makes doctors and hospitals unwilling. Listen, it makes doctors and hospitals unwilling to try other treatments that could work, or that families desperately want them to try when all government recommendations treatments have failed. McBride and other attorneys told Epoch Times, the stipulation has led to medical decisions and policies that are causing unnecessary deaths, according to the letter. Quote, we must move to a better liability immunity system that leads the doctors getting to the use of treatments they believe will work for their patients. SB, that is Senate Bill 7014, does not accomplish this goal at all. In fact, the law takes away patients' choice and encourages health care providers to keep doing what they've been doing, according to the letter. And this article further states, as kind of a footnote, Florida is one of 29 states across the country to enact laws shielding medical professionals from liability related to their treatment of COVID-19 patients, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the governor's telephone number is 1-850, that's area code 850-717-9337, 717-9337. Get on the telephone and call the governor's office. You need not go any further than just simply telling the receptionist when you call the governor's office, call and say, please, please, please ask our governor to veto Senate Bill 7014. Ask him specifically to veto Senate Bill 7014. That telephone number is 850. Telephone number is 850, area code 850-717-9337. And ladies and gentlemen, we have upstanding Duval delegation of Republicans, Cord Byrd, Clay Yarber, Jason Fisher, as representatives that all voted for this onerous bill that will continue to destroy your friends and your family members as it has ours. Aaron Bean is the senator, ladies and gentlemen, that you won't find his thumbprint on it because he works for the Health Association, healthcare industry in the state of Florida. As a result of that, he stayed aloft of his vote on that. But he's behind the scenes. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned because these senators and representatives have claimed to be conservatives, and most of them are representing themselves as Christians, and I have placed faith and trust in them for years. And I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, of the direction and the trajectory that we're taking today in our state. Call the governor, Governor DeSantis office, 1-850-717-9337. Urge him to veto the bill. Say no to Senate Bill 7014. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted that we can talk about some other issues, but that's fresh off the press. We need to do so now. Don't wait until tomorrow to call the governor. Call the governor's office today. Time this broadcast is over, get on the phone, call the governor's office. Say veto Senate Bill 7014. The lives, your life, my life, our family members' lives, our friends, our co-workers, our church members' lives are in the balance based on whether the governor signs this bill or not. If he signs this bill, ladies and gentlemen, it will go through June of this of next year, another year and a half of killing COVID patients in the hospitals, and it's being done so willy-nilly as though the doctors do not know what they're doing. All they know, the doctors in the hospitals, all they know is they're getting special bonus money to kill you. And to kill me. Now, you might say, preacher, that's harsh. No, I'm telling you, based on tons and tons and tons of research, that's exactly what they're doing. Dr. Katz, a investigatory physician that investigates serious pathogens as COVID-19. He is a research scientist. He works for Yale University Hospital, and the hospital out of Yale University is Mitchell Hospital. Dr. Katz says, do not place your family members in the hospital for COVID. The doctors will kill them. And he goes on to say the doctors are not doing it purposely, but they're doing it ineptly because they're following the CDC protocol. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm begging you today, call the governor's office, 850-717-9337, 850-717-9337, and say, governor, please, please, please veto Senate Bill 7014. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, God is still watching. And whether it is this dealing with COVID-19 and what the doctors and the hospitals are doing, God is watching. Whether it's what Hillary Clinton did starting back in 2016 with making a claim that President Trump was attached to Vladimir Putin and had a Russian connection. She did so in order to try to undermine and destroy his election. That was a shock to the world when he was elected with a landslide. And as a result of that, all of this now is coming out of what she has done in undermining the Constitutional Republic of America. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you recall, let's go back to a biblical basis, a fundamental foundation, biblically speaking, of where we're going today with this conversation that I'm talking about. The thing that I'm talking about today is, ladies and gentlemen, that God is still watching. God's on the throne. Perhaps you recall the story of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel they wanted to buy Naboth's vineyard. Naboth had a little vegetable garden, herb garden, right adjacent to the palace. And you can go back, ladies and gentlemen, and study this in the book of 1 Kings, the 21st chapter. Verses 1 and following tells you the story. I'll just narrate it for you rather than going back and taking the time to read the text itself. it demands, deserves an investigatory reading on your part to validate what I'm saying today. But you go back and study 1 Kings chapter 21 and following, and you find that Ahab and Jezebel, Ahab wanted the little vegetable garden, the vineyard it's called in the scripture, that Naboth had. Naboth refused to sell it to him. It had been in his family. It was kind of an heirloom in the family for years and years and years. And he said, God forbid that I sell it. He refused to sell it. So what did the king do? The king was basically crying like a baby. And Jezebel came to him and said, well, you're the king. You can get whatever you want. So she took his ring at his behest, took his ring. She used it as the insignia from the king. They gave orders for the sons of Belial, the scripture says, that is, demonic liars, to lie about Naboth. They had him brought up on false charges, very much, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, as they tried to bring Trump up on false charges. They're what you'd call, if I could use the term in pun, trumped-up charges. And they tried to bring those charges against President Trump about his connection with Vladimir Putin, and it's all proven to be an absolute lie. A lie from the Belial witnesses, that is, demonic, satanic witnesses. But anyway, she had that done. Falsely accused Naboth. He was tried and convicted and stoned to death. And she then told the king that he has what he could not get, she was able to get for him. They literally, ladies and gentlemen, they lied and had Naboth killed to steal his little vineyard. The prophet Elijah, told Ahab that God's going to judge him for killing Naboth. You can read that in 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. It's where Elijah went to him and said, basically, as he pointed his finger at him, God's going to judge you. God is going to judge you for what you've done. Somehow, some way, Ahab and Jezebel didn't believe that. 5 years passed, nothing happened. 10 years passed, and nothing had happened yet. 15 years passed, and nothing had taken place. No judgment. God's judgment had not fallen on Ahab and Jezebel. But then 20 years passed, ladies and gentlemen, 20 years. God judged Ahab and Jezebel. Both were slain because of God's judgment upon them as a result of what they did to Naboth in stealing his little vineyard. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the wheels of God's judgment may grind slowly, but they are grinding surely. And I don't know of anything any more relevant to the story today about what the John Durham report has turned up and has turned the heat up and is bringing to fruition, bringing to the light of the world of what Hillary Clinton's attorney out of the Cooey law firm, and the one that is now the head of the State of Affairs in the United States of America in relationship to external affairs and the defense of our nation, is up to his ears involved in it. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you recall that Hillary Clinton claimed that President Trump was a pawn for the Russian President Vladimir Putin. From the very time that President Trump, as candidate, came down the golden escalator to make his announcement as presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton, at that very moment, decided that we're going to undermine him and destroy his candidacy. And that did, when that didn't work, it continued even into the presidency. And as you recall, ladies and gentlemen, for the entire term of President Donald J. Trump, there was the Russiagate, that all you could hear on every news outlet, all you could hear on the Communist Network News, CSNBC, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, et cetera, all were talking about the Russiagate conspiracy theory. They didn't call it conspiracy. They said it was real, that it was really taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, may I announce to you today that that's coming unglued. And let me just do a little fast forward before our top of the hour news break. Let me just tell you this. All of the news media, with the exception of some blurbs coming out of Fox News, all of the news media is silent. They're not going back retracting what they've said. They're not going back trying to say that this is truth now. They're still hanging and clinging to what they've said in the false narrative for the past 5 years in relationship to that. And they're not making any corrections, because it is facts today that Hillary Clinton is in the bullseye of the future prosecution because of what she did and all of her constituency. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We've got much, much more to come right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. 1 minute news break, and we'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.